Now, something you may not know about me is a long time ago, maybe probably almost 20 years ago, I was invited to go on a 30-foot sailing boat on Lake Superior up in the Apostle Islands. Never really been sailing before, never done anything like that before. We got on the boat, and we motored out of the marina in these beautiful islands, beautiful water. But the moment when we got the sail up, and the wind filled him, and he cut the engine, and it pulled us in, and it leaned over a little bit. And at that moment, right there, I was completely hooked. I had never experienced anything like that, and I was crazy, obsessed, wanted to do this all the time, hooked on sailing like this. And I even got sicker than a dog. I mean, we were at one point, we were going down, and I had eaten some Doritos, and it did not agree with me, and I was totally miserable and, over the side of the boat, and I was smiling the whole time. It didn't matter. Completely hooked on that. And then, when Sharon and I were first married, we had an opportunity. We lived in San Diego for a couple of years, and I met a guy who had a boat there in San Diego Bay and got to sail on the ocean. And, the first time I went with this guy, the wind was just blowing. I didn't know this guy. He said he had a boat. I liked his boat. He said, hey, come out with me. And it was really windy. I mean, really strong winds. And we were heeled over like this. And there's big waves in the bay, even just in the bay, huge waves coming at us. And he said, hey, you want to take the steering here? And I go, oh, yo. And I hang, and it was so powerful. I could barely hold on. And I thought, this guy's nuts. And I really started experiencing like the power of the ocean. And I really saw it a few months later on a race. And we went out of the bay into the big ocean. We raced around the Coronado Islands, or some islands there by Mexico. Went down and went around the island. And it wasn't too bad. It was really hot. But these big, huge rolling waves came in. I mean, so big that we'd be in the trough of one. And I'd look and I'd just see a wall of water. And I couldn't see. And then we'd get on the top of one. And I was like, whoa. This is something. And it wasn't even a storm. It was just these big rolling waves. And I started really to understand when people talk about like the sea and the power of the ocean. And we're going to see that today in Jonah a little bit. Often in the Bible and places, the sea is, kind of characterizes chaos and fear and power, disorder. And the Israelites, they didn't have much to do with boats. They relied on other folks. And so when they talked about, you read the Psalms about the seas and crashing waves, you'll see that idea of fear and power and how much is there. And it's kind of crazy, and especially you see a real big storm. Now, I've never experienced that, but like in a movie, so you watch a movie like, Castaway, Tom Hanks, when he finally gets away from the island and this little raft and a big storm hits. Or I was looking at, there's one that Robert Redford made in 2013 called All Alone, where he's in a boat by himself and it gets punctured and a huge storm hits. And the whole movie, the entire movie is just him. He's the only actor in the movie. And it is amazing and it's terrifying. I mean, absolutely terrifying, the power of a storm in the ocean. So today in Jonah, we are pulled into a great drama, a wonderful drama, and there's a storm. As we're looking at this, you'll probably hear a double ring maybe in the back of your brains, thinking things like Jesus calming a storm, or Paul when he was shipwrecked. And I think God intends us to have those thoughts. Let's keep those in the back of our minds as we go through here. But let's turn your Bible then to Jonah chapter 1, and we'll start at verse 4 as we go into this drama. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship and the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us, whose account this evil has come upon us? What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land."
Then the men were exceedingly afraid. And he said to them, and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the Lord, the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then he said to him, what shall we do? That the sea may quiet down for us. For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done it as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that in these few minutes, you would speak to our hearts. Lord, there may be storms raging around us right now, but Lord, you are the God of the storm, and we trust you. Speak to us today, I pray. Touch us. Mold us, make us, as we're just saying, God, into your likeness more and more. Help us to understand today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, we left Jonah running from God's word, running from his presence, understanding that that's impossible, but in the hardness of his heart, whatever was going on, he wanted to be away from God. God wanted him that way, and Jonah said, "I'm going that way." It's a strange place to be. It's easy for us to stand outside of it all and look at it and go, "What a fool." But God's word, I think, shows us and reflects our hearts sometimes. That old adage, when if you get off a trail just a little bit, it doesn't seem like much, but as you keep going, you're farther and farther off the path. I wonder if that's how it was with Jonah. I wonder if at some point, as a prophet who heard from God, that there's something there in his heart that he stepped off the path a little bit and slowly moved away. I don't know. But today we see that you can't run away from God. And we see a storm. And like I said, I cannot imagine. You hear stories of these storms that go across the Mediterranean Sea. And it would make me want to deny my love of sailing. I mean, walls of water, 30, 40 feet high, crashing down. You know, you think about what Paul went through in these small boats and how terrified these seasoned sailors were, how out of control they were. Chaos, disorder, fear. Today, I want to walk us through the drama and I think see the responses that are here. The responses of the sailors. The responses of Jonah. And ultimately, we'll come around to, I think, who the main actor in this drama is. So what do the sailors do? And these are seasoned mariners, take their life into their hands all the time. But this storm shook them. Shook them to the core. It says they were afraid. They were afraid and they cried out to his God. Now, it's interesting that at this time, likely what was going on was each person basically kind of had their own God. They're like family gods, city gods. And in fact, they're in this, you know, time, there was a whole pantheon of gods, goddesses that you kind of try to work the system, so to speak. So, you know, like what they were trying to do was, you know, there were little gods and big gods, and maybe you could talk to a little god, get their attention, and then they can go up the line to maybe a little bigger god, you know, and eventually you might get around to the big god, the cosmic god, the powerful god who is causing the storm and get some relief. It's interesting. You know, they didn't want to address the main gods directly, but they wanted to kind of work it up. And so that's what they did when they were coming to Jonah. Said, "Hey, let's cover our bases here." But what I want to take away from this is, as I see this, it was interesting to me that the truth is that people are spiritual beings. That there's something inside us, created in the image of God, that is spiritual, that is seeking God, no matter how much people would deny it or put it aside. I hearken back to Romans 1:19. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. These sailors knew there was a God. They knew there was something out there, right? They didn't understand very good, but they knew. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power, like the sea, and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. So that's a human condition. That was the condition of these sailors' hearts. They knew there was something. Didn't understand really how to get there, but they were trying. And like I mentioned in our prayer time, that's all these people around us. All of them. Every single one created in God's image. Every single one having a place in their heart that only God can fill, that only God can help. And they're darkened, futile in their thinking. We have to be confident that that's true. Confident that the neighbor, the friend, the family member that seems so hard, so far away, is a spiritual being created with the image of God, needing the saving hope of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So what was Jonah's response? So the mariners, they're scared to death, crying out to their gods. I imagine he's weeping, wailing, help us! What's Jonah doing? Literally. It's interesting that in the Septuagint, the Greek Old Testament, kind of suggests that he was snoring. He's down the bottom of the boat snoring, and the captain says, hey, sleeper! We need some help here. Our gods don't seem to be getting through. Try your God. Okay? Let's cover all our bases here, because this is a bad one. What a different response that Paul had when he was battered from a storm. He warned them. He said, you know what? This is not a good idea, guys. We should not go out in this boat. And they went anyway. And sure enough, same thing. They were terrified. What was Paul's response? Paul, in Acts, said, don't worry. Don't worry. God will save us. The boat's going to get wrecked. And he gave these people courage and hope. Jonah, snoozing. Didn't want to. It's very interesting and ironic to me that the pagan sailors are telling the prophet of God he should pray. It's ironic that the captain says the same phrase that God used in the beginning of the chapter. Arise and go. Arise. And Jonah's just not getting it. A heart. They're avoiding God for whatever reason. Sin in their life. Problems. Whatever it is. Can create a spiral. They'll take you farther and farther and farther away. And it's easier and easier then. The longer you avoid God's word, the easier it is to avoid God's word. The longer you disobey what you know to be true, the easier it is to disobey what you know it is to be true. The longer you avoid the presence of God, keep yourself away from situations where you would feel God's presence, where you would understand God is there, his family, his people, the easier and easier it is to avoid and not feel God's presence. It seems to me that was the spiral that Jonah was on. And we get to this place where he's running from God. Maybe he's just exhausted. Just tired of the running. It has to be tiring. To run from God, he's relentless. The hound of heaven. Right? It's a trap to avoid. So remember that today. Avoid that trap. That's spiraling away. Don't isolate yourself from God's word and his people. His second response, interestingly enough, here was when they finally got him up and roused him up was, you know, they peppered him with questions. You see those questions? Who are you? where is it? Oh, yeah, there it is. Who did this? What's your occupation? Where did you come from? What's your country? What people are you? All right, so they're getting a sense that maybe this Jonah was something. And Jonah's response is interesting. First, he did not identify himself as a prophet. Okay, he was embarrassed. Again, didn't want that part of his life to be known, whatever it was. But he did identify himself as a Hebrew. So that'd be a typical way if someone basically say, I'm an American, you know, or I'm a Minnesotan, I'm a Wisconsinite, Wisconsinese, whatever they are here. And then he says, I fear the Lord of the sea and the land. Now that was interesting. He gave this religious identification, an understanding. He says, I fear the Lord, but apparently not enough to obey. It makes me wonder, and I think the thought that came to my mind as I read this is the danger of a cultural faith, a rote faith. I'm a Christian. I went to church. I was confirmed. I was baptized. And so someone asks a question, it just comes out of your mouth. What religion are you? I'm a Christian. And maybe it doesn't mean a thing. It makes me wonder, if Jonah just, ripped off the answer that he'd been drummed into him since he was a little kid. I fear the Lord, the creator of the sea and the land. But his life did not show that at all, did it? His life showed the opposite. It's very dangerous to say the words of faith and not live out the faith. Our mouths can say anything and have nothing to do with our heart. We must avoid a cultural rote response to our faith. Did you notice the mirrorism? Mirrorism, extremes. The Lord of the sea and the land covered it all, created everything. And then what was the sales response to that? Oh my gosh. I mean, I was praying to my little God. You're praying to the big one? The big, big, big God? If you notice in verse 5, it says with a storm that they were afraid. And what does it say in verse 10 then? Extremely afraid. Excessively afraid. They are ratcheting up here. Again, these pagan sailors are understanding the Lord God and respond to Him better than the prophet of God. The prophet is snoozing and, I fear the Lord. And these sailors who know nothing of it, and when they get it, their hearts are moved and their eyes are opened and they're understanding, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? That God? The God of the sea and the land? They got it. Or they're starting to get it. And they ask Jonah, what do we do? That's a great response. When God touches a heart, when you realize who He is, and you say, what do I do? What do I do? I'm a sinner. I fall short of that. I can't be that. Maybe someone's asking you that. So there's anyone around you that would want to know what to do? That's the gospel. That's the good news. And we have it. Amen. Jesus died for you. God loves you. So what was Jonah's response? What do we do? Did Jonah say, pray to the Lord God. He's mighty and awesome. He's merciful. He's loving. Come to Him and He will protect us. No. Basically says, I quit. I'm done. What an odd response. Toss me over. Just throw me overboard. Now, what was the deal with that? Did he want a death wish? Just want to die? Maybe he kind of said the same thing later when he was under the plant, but maybe he's just resigned. He said, enough. Okay, Lord, I can't run from you, but I still don't want to go that way. I'm just going to toss myself in the sea. Maybe he's just tired of running. Just tired. Again, these kind of things don't happen in a vacuum, right? You're not on fire for the God one day and wake up the next morning completely opposed and away from Him. It's small steps, creeping, until that gap becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And then you're confronted with God's Word. You're confronted with His presence. And you're so far away that you want nothing to do with it. I think that was Jonah, and I think he was just tired. Was he feeling compassion for these sailors, maybe? Caring for them and doing whatever he had to do? Some would try to allegorize this story and have Jonah be a Jesus figure sort of thing. I think you're kind of pushing the envelope a little bit with that, maybe, but we can think about him that way, some. But I think he just, in the hardness of his heart, knew he couldn't run and just wanted to be done. That's a terrible place to be. To be that down, that terrified, to have really experienced the heights as a prophet, where God's word came to you in a way that's so powerful, it's a burden, a burning, a fire, and then say, no, I don't want it anymore. Oh God, protect us from that. He couldn't run, but he didn't want to go back, so he chose to die. God had other plans. Next week, I can't even imagine. Can you imagine Jonah's shock? I'm going to die and gulp. What?
That's amazing. Jonah had a hard heart. What was then the sailor's response? These pagan, multiple God-worshipping pagan sailors feared the Lord. Their response was perfect. Now, we don't know if they converted, you know, followed the Lord the rest of life, maybe just added Yahweh to their pantheon. We don't know. But at this moment, their response was exactly as it should be. They came to the Lord. They feared him. They prayed to him. They said, Lord, forgive us. We don't want this blood in hand. But they understood a sovereign God. You do as you please. And they worshiped. And they sacrificed. And they made vows. The pagan sailors. It's fascinating, isn't it? You wonder, what would have happened if Jonah had come around then? What would have happened if he accepted that mantle of prophet with these men? But that wasn't what happened. But we haven't talked about the main character yet, have we? Jonah, the main character? Yeah, he's pretty important. The book's named after him. But he's not the main character. He's not the big deal here. It's God. God is the center of this drama. God's the center of this drama. Of this drama. He's the center of it all. He's the lead of it all. It's all about him. Everything's about him. We have eyes to see and ears to hear. It all points to him. It all seeks to glorify him. And we can take great comfort in that. With a hard heart, people rail against that. I don't want God to be like that. I don't want God who knows me that deeply. I want to hide things. I don't want a God who's in control of things. I want to control things. I want to do what I want. But as a believer, as someone who has treasured Christ and what he's done for us, this is great comfort. And we see it all over in this passage. We see a God who's in control. Look at verse 4. The Lord hurled a storm. Okay, this storm just happened. God, boom, storm. That's awesome. That's awesome. He's powerful, scary. Yeah, no doubt about it. But he's the one who's in control. He made it. He controlled it. For his purposes, he will do whatever he needs to do to get done what he needs to get done. Yeah. This God is sovereign. He does what he pleases. He's solid, unchanging, reliable. We can trust him. He's not some flighty God in this pantheon that we gotta fill out the proper paperwork and try, get through the proper channels to try to maybe find out maybe they'll help us. He's the God, when we cry out, he's there. He's the God in the storm, whatever it is that's raging around us, that we can trust. He is our anchor. He is our solid rock. He is the God who works all for good for those who are called according to his purpose. He's a loving God who exposes and pursues the storm that he hurled down meant to get their attention. And it got it. The sailors casting lot, you know, basically rolling dice, whatever it was. God was in charge of that. Jonah couldn't hide. He tried. Down the bottom of the ship, maybe I can just hide under a sack here. The lot was rolled. They go, oh, it's you. It's you. We know it now. And Jonah couldn't hide, could he? If you are God's, if you are his sheep, nothing can keep you away from him. You can run as far as you want. Isn't that great? When Psalm 139 told us, right? I go into the depth of Sheol, you are there. I go to the heights, you are there. Great comfort in a God who relentlessly in love pursues those who are his. Do you have a friend who has fallen away from God? Do you have a child who seems totally hard and doesn't want anything to do with God? This is a God who pursues, and you can trust that. It may not be your timing. It may not be what you want. But trust and know that if that person is his, he will bring them. He will. He does not give up, ever. I have a friend I've been praying for 40 years now. 40 years. He hadn't shown a sign. I will not give up on him because of this God. This God, the God of Jonah, who pursues his. I take great comfort in that. His purposes are fulfilled. No matter what we do, and what we try to do, God's will be done and he will be glorified. So, where are you today? Are there storms raging around you? Do you feel battered, tossed, out of control, helpless, afraid, anxious? Trust God. I believe that's what Jonah's trying to tell us here. Come to me. Trust me. I will take you in. I will protect you. I will be your God. Trust in the sovereign, in control, pursuing, relentlessly loving God. And whatever is going on in your life, we can give it to him today, right now. And he will calm the storm. He will calm the storm. Let's stand together. And as we conclude, we'll sing one final song, Christ, the Sure and Steady Anchor.